thing. Lefan is in third. Great news, George Moreland is now just going to have to accept defeat late on. Great news and George Moreland.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Let me give you a reminder that this afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook, double promotion day. Match bet promotion and the Play the Board handicapping contest. Both of those happening this afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. We'd love to have you stop on down and participate. On this morning's Racing Across America, as usual, we'll go over some of the stakes action from yesterday. Nice stakes across the country. I'll just hit on a few of really a massive number of opening weekend at Pimlico. They had a great stakes card. There was nice stakes really across the country. So as I say, we'll hit on a handful of them. A little bit later on, we'll do some handicapping, give you some ideas for this afternoon. And then towards the end of the program, last half hour, we'll be joined by our colleague Brian Addo, who's part of the notes team down at Churchill in the lead-up to the Kentucky Derby. So he is live from Louisville. He'll give us a little update on what he's been seeing in the mornings and hearing in the afternoons, and maybe get a little update on what opening night was like last night at Churchill Downs. All of that coming up on this edition of Racing Across America. And why don't we jump into stakes reviews and kick things off really across the country, but we'll kick things off in New York. I have a little Belmont, a little Pimlico. Golden Gate had a couple of nice stakes yesterday. Oaklawn, Churchill's opening night. But again, we'll start things off in New York. The elusive quality. I like the number 6, Front Run the Fed, who went off as the 6-5 favorite. Value proposition was the other Chad Brown runner, excuse me, the one horse, and they'll both be in the scrum late. But as we watch the stretch run, it'll be number 3, who I had actually in the second spot. I had Front Run the Fed 6 on top, and number 3, Casa Creed, in the second spot. Joe Bravo on board Casa Creed. And you can see that 3 Chicklet and the Lee Einsiedler Pink Silks making a late run here. And he just gets up on the wire. The margin here among this group, head, nose, neck between the top 4. And I will say, and mentioned it yesterday as we were talking on OTB Live, value proposition, the number 1 horse, winds up 3rd in here. It's Casa Creed, Front Run the Fed, Value Proposition, and Tell Your Daddy, 1, 2, 3, 4. But Value Proposition, with Irod Ortiz on board, he may have been best. He just got jammed up in the stretch and had nowhere to go. And finally, when things opened up, it was a little late, and he just, as I say, he was a head and a neck behind. But a Value Proposition might have been best in that field. But Casa Creed gets the money. Our friend Lee Einsiedler owned, Bill Mott trained, again, Joe Bravo on board, 99 buyer figure. Nice little run for Casa Creed. They sent this horse out to Santa Anita last time to try the grade 1 Kilroe. Wound up 6th in there, but by less than 2 lengths. So it was a decent little performance. Before that, had run 2nd, a close-up 2nd, in the Tropical Turf down at Gulfstream behind Ride a Comet. So this was the 3rd start of the season. Again, nice little 99 buyer figure for this one, and as it is a Lee Einsiedler horse, I would expect the potential is there to see him again up at Saratoga. Last year he was in the 4-star Dave, ran 3rd behind Halliday and Got Stormy, and we heard from Mark Cassie yesterday, Got Stormy has the 4-star Dave penciled in again, and it wouldn't shock me if Casa Creed wound up there again as well. But a nice win for Casa Creed yesterday in, again, a blanket finish that maybe the other Chad Brown at 5-1 value proposition might have been best with the traffic that one had to deal with in there. All right, let's take a look at a couple of races from Pimlico. And again, they had nice stakes action at Pimlico, but we'll take a look at a couple because they did have three-year-old action. And being down at Pimlico, these potentially can play into the Preakness and or the Black Eyed Susan. We'll start things out looking at the Federico Tessio. And again, it is not unusual that you wind up with one or two of these potentially in the Preakness. I'm not sure how it'll work out this year, but it wouldn't shock me, certainly. I had May the Horse Be With You, and that one went off as the second choice at 5-2. The favorite was actually the Kimmel Shipper, the Reds, coming out of a fifth-place finish in the Gotham off the maiden breaker and the prior start. But the Reds was the 9-5 favorite. I was a little bit surprised at that. 4-1 on the morning line, that the horse was with the third choice, but winds up the favorite. Betting public kind of nailed it. The Reds is going to be the number four horse here in our replay. Winds up second under the wire, but Accelerator, the number one, kind of comes out. You can see the horse, the one there on the lead, comes out, and really kind of stops the four's momentum. And it will wind up chart margin of a head, and I think the margin made the difference. The stewards then looked, and it was reversed. So it came under the wire, 1-4-3. Accelerator over the Reds over Royal Number, but it was reversed, and so the Reds was awarded the victory. Accelerator second. As I say, I liked May the Horse Be With You. That one winds up a disappointing fifth, having not missed an exacta in the last six starts, 7 of 8 overall. And here you can see the head on. Again, that you can see the one in the blinkers there comes out. I mean, up 5-6 paths there, and it was enough to stop the momentum on the four horse. And again, given the eventual margin, the stewards that to me was about, I always rate them, and that to me was about an 80-20, maybe even 90-10, that you had to take the horse down, and that the margin was this much, and that floating out did stop the forward momentum of the second place finisher, the Reds. But the Reds, again, comes in from New York for John Kimmel. First six starts of the career were either Belmont or Aqueduct. Took five starts to break the maiden. Did so pretty nicely at Aqueduct in January. And then they tried the Gotham. Ran fifth behind Weyburn and Crowded Trade and Highly Motivated there. But that wasn't enough to discourage them to go into a non-winners of one other than they still thought maybe they had a little something. And so with that confidence, they went down to Pimlico, tried the Federico Tessio, and they wind up, and I say, sometimes this race will play into the Preakness. It's a win and you're into the Preakness. So you would think the Reds now looking squarely a few weeks down the road to the Preakness at Pimlico. But it was a nice run from really the top two finishers. Accelerator, now more of a Maryland-based horse, had spent the first part of the career in Accelerator, the horse that was first under the finish line, DQ'd the second. Started the career in Canada, Woodbine. This fall, late fall and early winter was at Aqueduct, and subsequently the past couple of races has been down in Maryland, and the two Maryland starts were pretty good and puts in another decent little start there. So the Accelerator, wouldn't be shocked to see that one maybe try the Preakness as well, but a couple of nice three-year-olds there in Maryland in yesterday's Federico Tessio. Let's go and look at the three-year-old girls. As I say, the Tessio could play into the Preakness. The Weber City Miss is a win and you're in to the Black Eyed Susan, so this may play into that race. I like Little Stitious. Little Stitious was, in fact, a 7-5 favorite. Little Stitious in 8 career starts, 3 wins going into yesterday, 3 wins, 2 seconds, and a third, but more importantly, was coming out of a stakes win over Laura last time with a lifetime best buyer number. So seemed to be coming in for with good form for Tommy Amos. Had raced in a couple of stakes down at the fairgrounds and didn't fare that well. But in the Rachel Alexandra was fourth behind Clairiere and Travel Column, who will be amongst the favorites for the Kentucky Oaks. Then came up and won that stake at Laurel last time. So they were kind of, clearly they thought Little Stitches had some talent, shopped for that spot at Laurel and got that done. And off of that, went off as the favorite yesterday in the Weber City Miss. But it will be a little bit of an upset here at 9-1. Number three, Miss Leslie, getting it done. Olivia of the Desert runs second. I didn't have Miss Leslie in my mix at all. 15-1 on the morning line, came down a few ticks to 9-1. But it's a Claudio Gonzalez trainee, high percentage guy down there, and that's Miss Leslie, the number three, getting up late over number five, Olivia of the Desert. And Claudio Gonzalez in the winner's circle kind of made the comments that the distance is probably more suited to what Miss Leslie wants. Much of the career has been sprinting. There was a try three back before yesterday in a stakes race at Laurel at a mile and a 16th and won that one. So now 2 for 2 at the 8.5 furlongs. And again, with the winning you're in the Black Eyed Susan, you would have to think Miss Leslie is aimed in that direction. Little Stitches finished third, as you can see, a fairly well-beaten third. The chart margin 1.5, 1.75, so a little over 3 lengths back in third is the 7-5 favorite. But again, a nice little three-year-old filly there for Tommy Amos, and it just looks like Little Stitches, they'll just have to pick their spots and pick and choose a little bit. We'll see where they go next with that one, but as I say, you would have to think the winner with the win in your in situation, and Claudio Gonzalez being a guy based down in the Mid-Atlantic there in the Maryland circuit. The black-eyed Susan will be up next. And off of this one, you know, a win over the Pimlico surface, why not? So again, there were a couple of three-year-old stakes on a nice stakes card the opening Saturday, the spring meet down at Pimlico, and those races playing into the nice stakes action that will come up, as I say, in a few weeks down at Pimlico, black-eyed Susan and Preakness. Out in Southern California, we also had some three-year-old action, the California Derby. You know, typically this race is one of those that maybe Preakness or three-year-old stakes a little later on in California. These are the kind that, like in the Federico Tessio, they just haven't matured or developed enough to shoot for the Derby or gotten points. But they're the kind that maybe they'll make a little noise as you move later on. And the horse that was taking the action yesterday at 4-5 was Parnelli. This is a horse that had finished third to Life is Good in the Sham back in January, then fifth behind Medina Spirit in the Bob Lewis. Tried the Santa Anita Derby last time and ran sixth. So the John Sheriff's runner had shown some ability, but seems clearly second or third string amongst the better three-year-olds out in Southern California, but goes up to Northern California yesterday to try the California Derby, ungraded, but $100,000 up for grabs at a mile and a 16th. And Parnelli goes off as the 4-5 favorite, but the number three, Parnelli, no better than third in here, as it is number five, Stalking Shadow, getting it done at 7-1. Number two, Jimmy Irish, runs second, and you can see Stalking Shadow, a nice closing effort there to get up by half a length at 7-1. And this one is more of a Northern California-based horse. It was coming out of an optional claiming win last time. It was the stakes debut for Stalking Shadow. But now 4 wins in 9 career starts and a stakes win on the resume. So they have a nice little Cal-bred three-year-old there. And it was the California Derby, but it's not necessarily for California bred. I mean, it was an open company race, but this is a Cal-bred. So Tommy Town Thoroughbreds, Jonathan Wong, the trainer, they have a nice little Cal-bred three-year-old that they can shop around for and, you know, look for Cal-bred stakes races, because like the New York program, there are a few days out there in California that are just aimed at the state bred, so they can aim for some of those and pick up some purse money, or, as demonstrated by yesterday, they can aim for some open company and be competitive, you would have to think. So nice win for Stalking Shadow. Disappointing for Parnelli, who winds up again third, was sitting there second. You thought close to the wire was going to wind up at least second, but no, the late run from Stalking Shadow gets it done in the Cal Derby. A little bit later on the card yesterday, the San Francisco Mile on the turf. It's a grade three event, and the favorite was Whisper Knot, who came up from Southern California. And again, that's not unusual in Northern California. You get a graded event, nice little purse of $250,000. You will get the Southern California Invaders, and Whisper Knot was a Southern California Invader for Richard Baltus. Started the career over in Europe, has been in the United States now for five starts, going into yesterday, four starts. And of those four starts in North America, a win, a second, and a couple thirds. The win was the last start, March 6th, in an allowance event at Santa Anita, and really led all the way around. Opened a big lead in that race at Santa Anita, and then held on by a little over a length. At one point, that Santa Anita race was ahead by a chart margin of 10 lengths. But yesterday, it was a little different, kind of stalked and pounced. But Whisper Knot does get it done. On the Invasion from Southern California, number three, Whisper Knot, as I say, set fourth much of the way, and here makes the run down the stretch. Chart margin is ahead as the 7-5 favorite. Keeper of the Stars runs second in here, and Restrained Vengeance runs third. Keeper of the Stars, another nice little runner for Jonathan Wong, based up in Northern California, but that one has invaded Southern California and done well. A couple of stakes wins at Santa Anita last year. So Keeper of the Stars is a nice little turf performer, as well, stakes quality turf performer. So those two come down to the wire, 7-5 over 6-1. And what was the exact in there? Yeah, you got $23 for the chalky favorite over, again, a horse that had shown a little bit of talent in the past in turf stakes races, including in Southern California. But at Golden Gate yesterday, again, nice little stakes card out there as well. With a three-year-old, probably you would think the Cal Derby winner, as I say, being a Cal bred, they'll pick their spots out there. It'd be interesting to see. But again, the San Fran Mile will play into turf races for the older division in Southern California, you think, as the year goes along. Let's take a look now at, as I say, there was stakes galore all over the place, and let's take a look at the stakes action yesterday from Oaklawn. It was the Bachelor. These are three-year-olds sprinting six furlongs, and typically this produces one or two three-year-old sprinters that you have to watch during the year in those three-year-old sprint-type races, Woody Stevens and, you know, we have the three-year-old sprint up in Saratoga as well. We'll see if we get some of these horses showing up and given the connections. I would think that is very likely. I like Casadero in here, the Asmussen horse. Asmussen also had Jackson Traveler. Those two are going to be 1-2. Not the way I had it, but the betting public had it correct. 8-5 favorite Jackson Traveler gets it done and holds off an oncoming Casadero. Casadero was the horse that started the career nicely last year. A couple of wins, including the Bashford Manor, then disappointed in the Saratoga Special and was off since that. Ran disappointing fourth in the seasonal debut in the gazebo down at Oaklawn. But I thought with that one under the belt, Casadero might improve. And the second place finish was an improvement. But the winner, Jackson Traveler, wasn't going to catch that one. You could tell about the eighth pole. I thought we had a little momentum, but it just wasn't enough. Jackson Traveler, though, getting it done. As I say, also both of them were Steve Asmussen horses. So you had 8-5 over 7-2. The Asmussen exacta, again, $23 and change there. So a nice little exacta in a short field of six with a couple of trainees for a guy who's having a very good Oaklawn meet. But also, tip of the cap to our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds. They own Jackson Traveler with some others. And that Jackson Traveler's turning out to be a nice little runner for them. Last year in the two-year-old season went 3 for 3, including the Maryland Juvenile Futurity, being a Maryland bred. So last year banked $120,000. This year had also run in the gazebo and run a nice little second behind Sir Wellington. Sir Wellington was in yesterday's race as well. A little bit disappointing running fifth, but was down in the one post position, which may have been a little bit of a hindrance for that one, as opposed to Jackson Traveler, who had a more cozy four post. But Jackson Traveler gets it done to now run the record to 4 for 5 in the career for our friends at West Point, who, I will add, had a very nice day yesterday. So congratulations to everybody at West Point Thoroughbreds. They pick up the $200,000 Bachelor at Oaklawn, but a little bit earlier at Belmont, they had their $1.5 million Facic Tipton purchase. They bought the horse 2019 up at Saratoga, partnered up with a few others, including Bobby Flay and a few others in there, and first captain yesterday in a career debut in race number one at Belmont. Looked pretty good in the career debut. About the eighth pole, I thought, I'm going to run third. Just didn't seem to be getting in gear. And then all of a sudden, he got in gear and looked very good in the last 16th of a mile to get it done. So first captain, again, an expensive purchase right up the highway a couple of summers ago for West Point and Company. Looked pretty good in the debut, but they followed up. They had the natural daily double yesterday. West Point also won the second race at Belmont, and then the stakes race a little bit later on at Oaklawn. So it was a nice day for West Point Thoroughbreds. Congratulations to them. Finally, in our stakes review, let's take a look at the opening night stake at Churchill. It was the William Walker for three-year-olds sprinting on the turf. Cowan was going to be a little bit interesting for Asmussen, but that one wound up scratching. The favorite in the race was Field Day. Brad Cox, trainee, had been seen last in a turf sprint down at Gulfstream, running third. Before that, had won an optional claimer on the turf sprinting down at Gulfstream. Done it with buyers that matched up nicely with this group. But it was also Brad Cox, trainee, and Tyler Gaffleone on board. Field Day goes off as the 9-5 favorite and lives up to the public's confidence. Field Day, the number three, wins. Bodenheimer at 6-1 runs second. Seas gets degrees at 29-1. The number nine runs third in here. But again, you can see the nice late run from Field Day. Will get up. Chart margin is a neck, looking pretty good. So a nice little three-year-old turf sprinter for Brad Cox and company. Again, Tyler Gaffleone on board. And there are plenty of opportunities for this type out there in and amongst stakes company. Another one that wouldn't be shocked to see potentially up at Saratoga, certainly up in New York at some point. But a nice way to kick off the stakes action down at Churchill with a nice little turf sprint. Wound up with a field of 8. The turf was listed as good. Final time of 105.63. So, yeah, legitimate time given the track condition and whatnot. Nice performance there. All right, as noted, in a few we will be joined by Brian Addo. He is in Louisville, part of the Notes team, bouncing around the backstretch in the lead up to the Kentucky Derby and the Oaks and more. We'll talk to him and get some of his thoughts on what's been going on down at Churchill in the mornings over the past few days, and a little update on what opening night was like as well. But before we do that, when we come back from the break, do a little handicapping for Sunday afternoon, maybe toss out a few ideas. So all of that right after this, as Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
And I always like to follow up the Roku commercial by reminding people, if you know folks outside the area who maybe come in for the Saratoga meet and watch the network and enjoy Capital OTB TV, and then think, oh, gee, when I go home, why don't we have something like this at home? Alert them that now they do. They can fire up the Roku and go to the RTN app and find the Capital OTB channel and watch us wherever you are via Roku. All right, as always on a Sunday, I'd like to give some thoughts on the afternoon. Again, we'll be back in a couple hours with OTB Live, looking at live racing on a Sunday afternoon. But in preview, I'll take a look at the late pick four today at Oaklawn. Why? Because I love Oaklawn racing, and unfortunately, just a handful of days left. Two of the tracks I really like, Oaklawn and Tampa, winding down as we approach the Kentucky Derby, and those tracks winding up as you get to Derby time. But again, a few more days, so we'll make the most of it at both Oaklawn and Tampa. Take a look at the late pick four today at Oaklawn. And again, I'm not going to give out a specific pick four ticket, but just give ideas in the races. And I looked, and there weren't any scratches when I looked a few minutes ago. So again, this is pre-scratches. Just some ideas in that late pick four sequence today down in Arkansas. And we started out in the races that I find complete head scratchers down there. Arkansas-bred maiden claimers. You're just looking for a little life usually because typically they're fairly weak fields. Now, this group has some experience. And I went in the seventh at Oaklawn, which kicks off the late pick four. I went 110, 4-6. The number one is Gentle Knight at 8-1. I wonder if that'll hold up. It's a Norm McKnight trainee, third off the claim for Norm McKnight. Who is not having a Norm McKnight-type meet. Normally, he's a higher percentage guy, but he's okay at the meet. Claimed this horse in March and has subsequently run a couple of times. So, I mean, clearly he is trying to get his money's worth of this Arkansas bred because you're not going to get this kind of company once the Oaklawn meet ends. And he hasn't. The horse has not produced since the claim. It's run sixth and seventh, but has done it with numbers that I think match up okay with this bunch. So this may just be one of those situations where, yeah, this horse has not shown an affinity for winding up in the winner's circle, but it's just been a case of the competition. You know, eventually you'll see these longtime losers that are in the maiden ranks for 8 or 10 or 12 starts. And then you finally look down and say, you know what, I think they match up all right today. I think that might be the case for Gentle Knight. He hasn't had that many starts, only 4 starts, but certainly hasn't really shown a whole lot of oomph yet. But I think against this field, might be all right. Also cuts back, last time tried a mile and a 16th, so there's blinkers off today. There's the cutback in distance, some switch-ups that may wake the horse up a little bit. I'll put Gentle Knight on top and see if that 8-1 holds up. My Little Tipsy in the second spot, couple of starts. Again, they weren't much, but they were done with numbers that are okay. I'm not thrilled that we get the 10-pound apprentice on board, but leaves from the outside post position, which is a plus and a minus. Kind of gets to look at the whole field, but with the apprentice, I'd rather have horses on either side of me. If you're on the inside gate or the outside gate, sometimes those horses go to the open space, and the 10-pound apprentice may not quite be keyed into that yet. We'll see, but I think My Little Tipsy is potentially a player with this group. And then Stomping Hot Rod in the third spot. Showed some nice speed last time in a similar event before fading. Again, given this is a fairly weak group, maybe that speed is a little more potent this afternoon. Braska in the fourth spot. It's only a second-time starter, so still lightly raced, having come in off an okay debut. It wasn't a spectacular debut, but okay comparatively speaking. So for me in the seventh at Oaklawn, 110. 4 and 6. Race number 8 at Oaklawn on Sunday afternoon. Optional claimer with a money condition, and the claiming price is $100,000. And yes, there is a one horse in for the tag. It's Dream Princess, trained by Brad Cox, the three horse. I have that one in the mix. 4, 6, 3, and 2. Marion Francis on top, also trained by Brad Cox. This one broke the maiden last time, has run well in all four of the career starts. Three of those have been at Oaklawn. Debuted this season at Oaklawn, going 6 furlongs, then stretched to 1 mile and 1/16. Last time broke the maiden at 1 mile, and now they go back to 1 mile and 1/16. But I think off the series of races we've seen so far down at Oaklawn, this horse is in some good form, certainly compared to this bunch, and may even be primed for a little bit of a better effort this afternoon, stretching back out the extra half furlong. So Marion Francis on top. Second slot will go with Trumpet Lily. Last three starts, 2 second-place finishes that bookend a nice maiden-breaking win. Tried this fairly this type of company last time. Took the lead late before winding up second, but I think with that experience under the belt, Trumpet Lily is a player in here. Dream Princess in the third spot. That's the one I said is in for the tag. $100,000 tag off a maiden breaker. Broke the maiden for $30,000, but did it pretty nicely. Couple of starts last year as a two-year-old, Indiana Grand in the fairgrounds. Then went to Oaklawn for the seasonal debut at the end of January and really threw in a clunker. But it was on a muddy track. Gave the horse a little experience at Oaklawn, came back for the 30 tag, stretch out to the 1 mile and 1/16, seemed to appreciate both of those moves, the class drop and the distance. If it was the, and I guess you have to look in the crystal ball and decide which was more important to the horse, the class drop or the distance. If you feel it was the distance, then today the bounce up into what is most likely saltier company may not be as big an obstacle as it might appear, but I put the horse down in the third spot because I am curious how it'll class up with this bunch today. Battle Bling in the fourth spot for us, Steve Asmussen, off the seasonal debut second. I think this one may be a player as well. It was a lifetime best buyer in the three-year-old debut, so maybe this horse is a little bit improved on the comeback here, so I would consider that one as well in the pick four sequence. In the 8th at Oaklawn, 4, 6, 3, and 2. Race number 9 at Oaklawn on Sunday afternoon. Optional claimer again with a money condition. And once again, there's one horse in for the tag, $62,500. True Castle for Steve Asmussen. I have that one in the 3rd spot. I went 4, 6, 5, and 2. I put Perfect Happiness on top. Brad Cox and Steve Asmussen. Seems like a broken record, but it's hard to get by those guys this season down at Oaklawn when they have some horses in, and Robertino Diodoro as well. Hasn't been seen, Perfect Happiness, the 4, since Churchill in September. At that point, was being trained by Larry Jones. Now goes out for Brad Cox in the 4-year-old debut. Showed some flashes of talent as a 3-year-old. 5 exacta finishes and 7 career starts. So I think a nice fit with this bunch this afternoon. Clickbait in the 2nd spot. Career was, 6 starts at Canterbury, 1 start at Oaklawn. So you wonder how the Mac Robertson horse maybe classes up, being a Minnesota bred and spending most of the career at Canterbury. But we have the barometer. The 3rd start of the career was at Oaklawn. Has made 1 Oaklawn start. It was just about this time last year off a similar layoff from Canterbury and ran a decent 2nd. So I think this horse is a player again, looking at that scenario and kind of a repeat calendar type of schedule. In the third spot, I'll use True Castle from Steve Asmussen off the claim for owner Steve Asmussen as well. So we'll look for this one to put in a good performance on the move into the new barn. Do note, however, moves out of the barn to Robertina Diodoro, who, again, is having a spectacular meet down there also. So in the ninth at Oaklawn, 4, 6, 5, and 2. And about 6:40 our time, 5:40 local down in Arkansas. But they'll wrap things up with the 10th race this afternoon. 5, 4, 2, and 1 for me in the 10th at Oaklawn. State bred conditional claimers. So again, a little bit of a weaker bunch, but I'll put James Moonshine on top. Showed some nice speed last time in a pretty much a similar event before fading to be third. But with that one under the belt, and the horse doesn't always have to show speed. At 4 to 5 may just have had a little bit of an edge on that group and had to kind of go out and press. And the last couple has really been out in front. I don't love front runners at Oaklawn. I've said it before. I like that horse that about midway on the far turn is fourth or fifth on the outside and has a little momentum. But this horse has done well on the front in the past couple of starts with the win two back and then fading to third last time. But again, that was the first start off the main breaker, and I think has this one primed for maybe a better effort today. Second spot, we'll take a look at Cinco Catalina. Lightly raced, only 3 starts. Claimed away from John Sadler last time off of really a dud of an effort. But the main breaker two back was pretty good. I'm kind of keying on that and hoping that's more indicative of what we'll get today. We also have Carl Broberg training, who was very good off the claim. So I'll tilt in that direction. Ricardo Santana on board. He was on board last time, though, for the dull effort. So again, the mixed messages for Cinco Catalina. Destined to be a star in the third spot. Just seems to be in some good form. The past few starts has been throwing some numbers and running competitively. Same situation with East Moon Lake as well. Seems like good form and good enough form to be in the conversation here. In the 10th and final at Oaklawn, 5, 4, 2, and 1. And again, we'll be back this afternoon to talk more about Oaklawn, Belmont, and more on OTB Live, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But now, stay tuned, because after the break, again, we will catch up with our colleague Brian Addo. Spent the winter down at the fairgrounds and went back to his Florida base for a few weeks, and currently at Churchill Downs in Louisville. We'll catch up with him and see what's going on, backstretch and more from Churchill Downs in the lead up to the Derby and the Oaks. All of that right after this. Stay with us.
It's the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, the Kentucky Derby. And here's a special offer for all new Capital Bets account holders. Leading up to the Kentucky Derby, open a new Capital Bets account at CapitalOTB.com and get $200 cash back. So whether you're a seasoned horse player or only wager once a year, don't miss out on this incredible offer. To learn how to claim your free money, go to CapitalOTB.com.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Want to take advantage of everything Capital OTB has to offer? Become a Capital Bets account holder today. It's quick and easy, and now for the month of April, it's our new member sign-up bonus. Simply make a minimum deposit of $200, bet $400, and receive a $200 cash bonus deposited directly into your new account. That's $200 free money from Capital OTB, so sign up today and win more with Capital OTB.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. As promised before the break, joined now by Brian Addo, who is live from Louisville on the notes team for the Kentucky Derby, the Kentucky Oaks down at Churchill Downs. Brian, good morning.
Hey, Seth, good morning. Good to hear from you back home. And, a lot of excitement here in Louisville. A lot of rain last night. So anything you see today for works-wise, gallops-wise, all that kind of stuff was done over a main track labeled as good. So I'll tell you what, though, Seth. I'm sure you were watching. I saw you on TV last night before I headed to the track, I think around 8 o'clock. And I'm sure you saw it. The track was an absolute mess last night. Even when I left at about 10:30, and for my money, it looked fast this morning. It did a remarkable job. It dries very quickly here at Churchill, so very, very, very impressive.
That is notable about Churchill Downs. That's been something over the years that is remarkable. There have been some Derby days where you thought, oh, this is going to be a washout, and then they get to the late afternoon by the Derby, and they're fast, and so they do a great job down there, the composition of the track and whatnot. It was opening night last night. Talk a little bit about what the track was like and fans allowed. What's the situation?
Yeah, there were a lot of people here. I mean, a lot of people dressed up. It was a big deal. It was cold as hell. It was windy. It was not a nice night. It did start with rain. It tapered off towards the end, but there were a lot of people here. You know, a lot of ladies dressed up and guys as well, but it was a pretty festive atmosphere. I do not know the exact cap that they put on things, and obviously people were doing their due diligence and wearing their masks and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it was I'll tell you what, Seth, there was the most people I've seen at a racetrack in quite a while, so it was good to see.
Yeah, nice.
Refreshing.
Those nighttime cars at Churchill have always been popular, and it's nice to know it's kind of holding up despite the situation and the protocols that obviously are in place and whatnot. You and I were talking off the air, and there was a notable piece of news that came out over the past 24 hours. Brad Cox will have a couple runners in, but one runner is out from the Brad Cox barn, and notable also maybe pace-wise.
It's a big deal. Yeah, Caddo River's out. I don't think anybody confused him with a horse that had a chance to win the race, but you could argue pretty strongly he was the most important horse in the race because he was a legitimate pace setter. So now I would think that role falls to Rock Your World out in California. But, I think umbrella set that Brad just really wasn't happy with the way the horse was doing, and obviously you need to run the race of your life and then some to win. So his defection, I don't think, was a big surprise. But, yeah, he was a legitimate pace setter. He will now be out of the race. And, I think it puts a couple people maybe on their heels a little bit. They had a horse like Rock Your World, had a legitimate target, and now he might not have one anymore. So, it's a noteworthy defection, even though he was, legitimately 75-1.
Yeah, as I say, it'll have pace implications, no doubt about it. With the opening, also the news came out. I think I liked this horse last year, and I said when the horse debuted in the Tough Stake this year, up against it a little bit. Brooklyn Strong with the openings coming up there. They're talking about pointing Brooklyn Strong to the Derby. And as I say, I think this is a nice horse. I wish they would just kind of be a little more. You only get one shot at the Derby. I get it. I can't really blame them, I suppose, for taking the shot. But it just seems like, boy, they might have a nice three-year-old, and I'd like to see them pick the more conservative spots, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you said it well. You only get one chance to run in the Derby. Let's just be honest, Seth. It's not a great Derby. I think we all can agree on that, regardless of who you like and dislike. It's not a great Derby. Stranger things have happened. Dave Grenning was sitting about 10 feet behind me, and I just saw he tweeted out that Umberto Rispoli will ride Brooklyn Strong, so he gets a, elite rider. I'm not going to beat up anybody for taking a shot in this race, Seth, because it does have the feel of throw the dart at the board kind of race. And we're going to talk about a reason for that in a second, I'm sure, when we talk about yesterday's work. So, he didn't run well in the Wood Memorial in his first start of the year. It's a it's a seismic ask, but, you know, I'm not going to beat it. Like I said, I won't beat anybody up that wants to run in this Derby. I think, hell, I've been touting King Fury all week, Seth, and he was, what, about 24th on the list, and he's now in. So, to each their own.
Yeah, yeah, and, well, I agree. Like I said, I can't really knock somebody to get that one shot, and it's maybe the one horse you're going to get a shot with. So, and as you say, and let's jump into it with the works, it really seems like Essential Quality and Rock Your World, maybe Known Agenda, are the horses that are coming in with the momentum. Essential Quality, really the only one with real consistency so far this prep season leading into it. And we'll take a look. Yesterday morning, Brad had his two runners out, Essential Quality and Mandaloon. I talked to Jenny Reese yesterday, who's been on the backstretch, and I said, is there a buzz horse this year? She said, you know what, it might be Mandaloon, a horse I know you like, and I'm kind of tilting to maybe liking this one a little more in the Derby as well. But we'll look at the workouts yesterday from both Essential Quality, and then we'll look at Mandaloon. Talk a little bit about those and Brad Cox and how he's feeling about his horses.
Yeah, well, if you're showing them, obviously, you're going to see a contrasting visual on the TV. And you're right, Mandaloon will be the buzz horse. I feel sorry for everyone that's getting on him because, I mean, not that he can't win, but he might be 12-1 when he probably should be 25 off that total no-show in the Louisiana Derby. And listen, the fan club line forms behind me, so that's a pretty candid assessment there. He has looked awesome, Seth. He has looked like a statue. He has dragged Florent Giroux around the track. He could not be doing better. He might run 10th next Saturday. He will not run 10th because he's not doing well. He looks amazing. There's only one horse I've seen that's looked better this week, and that's a filly, Malafat, but Mandaloon looks awesome. You watch the workout. It was not as planned. He ended up making up about 8 lengths on Joe Frazier, who's okay as a 3-year-old. You know, he's a fringe listed kind of stakes 3-year-old. He made up about 8 lengths on him. He initially broke off farther than they wanted, and it was just kind of circumstance, no real reason. And he galloped out strongly past him. Now, with that being said, he always looks good in the morning. So now that's Mandaloon. Conversely, and
we're watching the gallop out now of Essential Quality. He never went by his workmate. Yeah.
And it's pretty ugly, Seth. And Spa City is coming to a 35 claimer near you pretty soon. Now, Brad used the term morning glory for Spa City. You know, this is a Godolphin horse. They ended up gelding him, okay? He's got a monster pedigree. He's now a gelding, so you're kind of getting the M.O. of Spa City. He is not much, okay? And the gallop out was pretty poor for Essential Quality. Now, Brad has kind of had to, how do I put it? Brad has, you know, kind of, taken to the offensive is not the right way to say it, but he's kind of had to tell people, listen, this is kind of what Essential Quality is. He's not Mandaloon. He doesn't wow you in the morning. And there's a lot of people here that I've talked to that are smarter than me, that have been around Essential Quality a lot longer than me, and have admitted, you know, that is pretty much who he is. He's not a great workhorse. But, you know, you see it for your own eyes. If you're going to be winning the Kentucky Derby, I kind of sort of think you're supposed to gallop out ahead of Spa City and not get kind of left in his wake a little bit. So there are definitely some people who are, if they were on the bandwagon, maybe they've got a foot off of it. If they weren't on the bandwagon, they are comfortably now saying, nope, not for me. So it's all in the eye of the beholder. You know, the other thing is, Seth, with Essential Quality I haven't really been able to get a grasp on him. I don't know why. He's a horse. I had one of the best scores of my life on him in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, but for whatever reason, I just can't, like, grasp him that he's the one. And I think one of the reasons is, you know, whether you love him or hate him or whoever you think is your horse, the margin for error from Essential Quality to the, you know, 12th horse in the race, whoever that might be. It's not a big one. He's not overly fast. He doesn't wow you. He comes out of an extremely gut-wrenching, difficult race in the Bluegrass. And he's got to answer the bell again at about 3-1 in a 20-horse field. So there's a lot of reason to go against Essential Quality. But with all that being said, all he does is show up every time. And as you alluded to before you threw it to me, not every horse in this field shows up every time, and he sure does.
Yeah, that's it. The consistency is what stands out with him. I mean, it's obvious consistency. He's undefeated. He did have a tough race, though, in the Bluegrass. Maybe that left something on the table there, potentially. We'll certainly find out next weekend. But, again, reading Mike Welch, who's a guy who watches workouts regularly and does a great job, he kind of commented that, you know, comparing the two works, he clearly, riding in the racing form, seemed more enthusiastic about Mandaloon yesterday than Essential Quality.
I think that's significant to me too, Seth. I mentioned that to my friend Wayne when he gets the DRF Mike's workout reports a lot, and Mike is pretty very even keel in his workout reports. He's never too hard on anyone, and you read that recap as you did, and then that's what you were talking about on DRF.com. And Mike, you know, he basically laid it out there. It was not impressive at all. And I thought, you know, Mike is one of the best there is. And when I read that, I said, wow, he took a pretty good hard stand there. And that was significant to me. So, you know, it is what it is. And reportedly that is who Essential Quality is. But he's not making a lot of friends this week. I will say that.
I'll toss out another workout from yesterday. And again, we had Jenny Reese on yesterday, and we were talking about the story. It's just a fun story. We're going to watch the workout from Superstock, trained by Steve Asmussen, owned by his dad and some partners, and winds up being owned by his dad because they get horses ready for sales. The horse was supposed to go in a Texas sale last year that was canceled because of the pandemic. Steve's son winds up riding the horse through the first three races of the career and eventually wins a stakes race with him. So it was a great family story. Then they go on win the Grade One $1 million Arkansas Derby. So Superstock, coming out of the Arkansas Derby, certainly has a little bit of potential, but also just a fun human story as well.
Yeah, and I don't know, did I draw the short straw this week or not, but he's one of my trainers that I've been covering on a daily basis. So
I think he's mellowed out. I think he's better now than he was.
Okay, Seth, sure. sure. He got in yesterday morning, and Superstock, like you said, worked, didn't wow anybody, but didn't need to wow anybody. It was just more of a kick over, keep him in good fettle kind of thing. And I talked to Steve this morning, and he was very, very happy with it. Ate up his feed, he said, and was bouncing around the barn last night. So Steve is very happy with everybody. The gals worked today, Clary Air and Pauline's Pearl. And his quote to me was, "We are ecstatic." So everything has gone according to plan. Midnight Bourbon will work tomorrow, and I believe, don't quote me, but I believe that's the last of the Derby horses to work. And I'll tell you what, he's just been galloping here, but there's another horse that has looked very, very good in the morning. It'll be interesting to see just how serious he is tomorrow and all that, but he's really looked impressive in the morning. He's one of the better lookers that I've seen. Him and Mandaloon would be two. I got to look at Medina Spirit for the first time today. Kind of a tiny, sleek little thing, but he looked okay. Trying to think who else stood out. The Fletcher horses have been galloping. Known Agenda looks solid. But the one horse above and beyond, by far the one horse this week that has made the most favorable impression to me, is Malathat for Fletcher in the Oaks. She looks like a star. She looks awesome. Travel Column has looked good. Clary Air has looked good. other horses have looked good, and then there's Malathat, and she looks awesome. So,
and I think that Oaks is shaping up because as compared to the three-year-old boys who have been a little bit inconsistent, other than Essential Quality, I think we have four or five or six coming into the Oaks off of some nice performances, Malathat being one of those, but the two that you saw all winter long, Clairier and Travel Column also. So that Oaks is looking like a lot of fun. I have to ask you, because you're familiar with the horse because he won the big race where you were stationed this winter, but a horse that is number two on the points list and really seems to be just floating under the radar with Conversation. I'm wondering if it's different down there or not. Hot Rod Charlie.
Did you see his work yesterday? I watched the Californians last night, Rock Your World and Hot Rod Charlie, and I left. Now, they're not here yet. I believe they get here tomorrow or maybe later today. But I watched those two works. And I said, wow, those are the two horses. They looked freakishly good in those two works. Hot Rod Charlie reminded me of like a Tisnow kind of skip away kind of horse, just galloping you into the ground. And you could visually see the push button acceleration from Rock Your World in mid stretch when he was asked to go. And in an instant, he absolutely took off. And he didn't want to stop around that clubhouse turn. He just galloped clear, open length. So I'll be really interested to see how they ship, how they make their appearance here when they finally do hit the track, which I would think will be, there's a chance tomorrow morning, but I would think they'll gallop on Tuesday. But I watched those two works last night, and I said, wow, they're going to be heck to pay when they, if all things being equal here, because they were really, really, really impressive. And, you know, now the interesting thing is we let off the show with the Caddo River scratch. Those are now two of the horses, you know, that are, I don't know if they benefit, Seth. Now, you know, the clear target is gone. And now, you know, Rock Your World might be out there doing the dirty work. And maybe it's Hot Rod Charlie who's pressing or chasing. And it adds another dimension to this race. I think for the first time, too, Seth, in maybe the first time ever since the points got switched, you know, I think people are feeling, even with the scratch, I think people are feeling that the pace scenario could be pretty strong in this Derby. That has not been the case since the points got turned around, you know?
And finally, let me ask you, is there any kind of below-the-radar horse that maybe has been making a little noise this week? You know, a horse at a price that maybe is worth thinking about underneath?
Yeah, it's an easy answer for me. So King Fury has impressed me. I didn't see him today, but each and every day leading up to this, since I got here into the track Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, he has looked very good to me. So I'm going to definitely put him in my exotics and fool around with him. He's only run once this year, but he certainly looked good winning the Lexington. And he has given a very, very favorable impression on the racetrack.
Yeah, he had the good two-year-old season. And then the comeback was pretty good. And Ken McPeak afterwards was saying, yeah, you know, Derby or Preakness. And it looked like, as you said earlier, it looked at the time he was a little too far down the list to make it in. But there have been some defections. He gets in. I agree just on, you know, you've seen him in the flesh. I'm just looking at the page. I think he could be a little bit intriguing as well. Anything before we let you go, anything else we should be updated on?
I don't think so. There were a few, more than a few people told me today they wouldn't be surprised if Concert Tour drops in the entry box on Tuesday. He's been very, very active every morning here. You see him out there with the Derby saddle towel on, working aggressively. He hasn't actually worked officially, but working aggressively. It's odd he's here to me. There were, like I said, more than a few people said, hey, it wouldn't shock me at all if that horse pops in on Tuesday. Other than that, I can't really think of anything too out of the box. Nothing has gone awry, you know, that very much. Everything's a lot of, you know, you're hearing a lot of checking off the boxes. You know, Chad, Chad is also one of my trainers, and he's been great also, you know, checking the box, that kind of thing, where we're clearing hurdles, came back good, hard work's out of the way now, and things like that. So, you know, I have certainly not talked to anybody who's saying, oh, man, that's not what we wanted to see and that kind of thing. So I think a lot of people are pretty happy, Seth.
Very good. Brian, we will talk again Wednesday night. We'll have the Kentucky Derby seminar, the Capital OTB Kentucky Derby seminar. It'll be live on our social media platforms and replayed over the next few days here on Capital OTB TV. But we'll be live Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And by that time, we'll have the field, we'll have the PPs, and we'll be just a few days away from the Kentucky Derby. But it's a lot of fun. Back where it's supposed to be this year, the first Saturday in May, and I think people are getting revved up for it. Oh, and you kind of mentioned it earlier. I'm just wondering, on track, and you've been in town bouncing around, I'm sure, a little bit as well. Is there that buzz that we're back the first Saturday in May and there'll be some fans on track?
Well, you know, Seth, last night was opening night, and I just think if you judge it off that, it's an absolute slam dunk, 100% yes. Because I was, like I said, it was not a nice night last night. It was windy. It was cold. It was damp. It was still raining at the start of the race card. There were a lot of people here, and they were dressed up. So it was kind of like, you know, all dressed up with nowhere to go. Well, now they have somewhere to go. And I think they're happy to do it. Obviously, people were, you know, I said the masks and everything was in order and things like that. But, yeah, people were excited to be here, and I certainly don't see that changing, especially with the temperature kicking up later in the week, and it looks like right now a pretty nice derby day.
Very good. Brian, enjoy the week. We will talk on Wednesday.
Sounds good, Seth. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Brian Addo live from Louisville again. He's on the notes team down at Churchill Downs, and Darren Rogers, who kind of heads the media department, is sending out at this point multiple press releases every day to keep everybody updated. You can go to the Churchill website or the Kentucky Derby website and keep up with some of that news as well. But again, they're doing a great job. There's some videos. Jenny Reese yesterday, the Kentucky HBPA, is also doing some videos. You can check their channel on YouTube, and she's out doing interviews with all the players as well. So there are plenty of opportunities out there to keep up and hear from the participants and get some ideas. It's the one race a year where people start to get plugged in about 2 weeks out, and the workouts take on a whole level of importance we all look at the workouts underneath in the PPs and in various races and look for clues there, but it goes to another level, Kentucky Derby, the 2 weeks leading up to it, and this year is no exception. So it's great to hear from Brian, get some firsthand conversation on the workouts, the backstretch and whatnot. Churchill Downs in this lead up to next Saturday's Kentucky Derby. Looking forward to it. Again, Wednesday night, we will have the Kentucky Derby seminar, 7 o'clock on our social media platforms. You can check that out. We'll replay that again over the next following few days here on the network as well. But you can check us out live. And also, as you see there, live Q&A. You can send in some questions as well if you're so inclined. Wednesday, 7 o'clock on the Capital OTV social media platforms, Kentucky Derby Seminar. Today, here at the Clubhouse Racebook, double promotion day. It is the Play the Board and the Match Bet promotions here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Love to have you come on down and enjoy the racing action and the promotional action as well. Maybe a little extra fun for you and a little extra dough in your pocket maybe by the end of the day. 711 Central Avenue for a double promotion on Sunday afternoon. I am going to wrap it up for Racing Across America for a Sunday morning. Be back in about a couple hours. Again, we're at that point of the year where daylight savings and whatnot, post time kicks off at our main tracks about 1 o'clock or so. So that's when I'll jump into the mix. And we'll go through the afternoon taking a look at some of the action, hopefully tossing out some info that allows us all to cash some tickets, because that's always the game plan. But as far as Sunday morning and racing across America, really appreciate your tuning in, as always. Again, promotion here at the Racebook, Kentucky Derby Seminar on Wednesday. You're all caught up as far as racing across America on Sunday morning, and the promotion's coming up over the next few days. So I will wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Again, invite you to jump back in a couple hours for OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.